Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite you to call right now. The number, toll-free, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As a believer in Christ, what is it that you need to know? What is it that you need to know about God? What is it that you need to know about Jesus? Well, that's the question we've asked and are trying to answer this particular month on Basic Gospel. We actually have a CD series called The Power of Eight, Eight Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. Today, we're going to talk about the fourth of those eight truths. We've already talked about the importance of knowing who Jesus is. The most compelling question ever asked was the question Jesus asked of his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It's a question that's being asked even today. Folks are wondering, who is this Jesus? That's amazing that 2,000 years after he lived, that question is being asked today in the way that it is. I mean, you can't escape it. And that's a question that we all need to answer, because our eternal destiny is dependent upon that. If we don't believe that Jesus is God, then we're left on our own. But if we do, then we can trust all that he's done for us. The second thing that every Christian needs to know is this Bible is authoritative in our lives. We can trust it. It contains truth. It points us to the truth of Jesus. The third thing that we've been talking about this week is the new covenant. When Jesus died, he ushered in a new covenant. The night before he died, he gathered with his disciples, and he had the Last Supper, and he raised the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the blood of the new covenant." Something was about to change. Well, and it all changed because Jesus shed his blood. He ratified that new covenant, and today we're new covenant believers. And all that we have in this new covenant, all the promises, rest on what Christ accomplished for us at the cross, and that's what we're going to start talking about today, the importance and significance of Christ's work on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 8, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, writes out the new covenant, and the final promise of the new covenant is this: "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And then in the 10th chapter, he repeats that: "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin."
Yeah.
So all that we have in this new covenant rests upon Christ's finished work on the cross and the fact that he extended forgiveness to you, to me, to anyone who would come to him by faith. That is unbelievable news, the fact that we can say that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and it's all because of the cross. And I think this promise where he says he will remember our sins no more, that's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
Well, yeah. How is it that God, who knows everything, chooses to remember something no more? And yet he did.
Yes.
You have to take his word for it.
Yes.
Every time God speaks, something occurs. Something is created. In this case, he created forgiveness. Sins are gone.
Yeah.
How do you explain that? You don't, really.
Right.
But you sure say thank you
right.
a lot.
Well, and here's the great thing about forgiveness. It, as you said, God invented it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God so loved, well, also God so forgave.
Yes.
That's just part and parcel of that love thing. If he's going to love us, that love has to have forgiveness as a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He can't love us without forgiveness. And so he demonstrated that forgiveness by sending Christ. And when we receive it, here's what we're saying. We're saying something about ourselves, that we are guilty as charged, mm-hmm. that we stand before God judged and condemned, guilty of sin. We've committed it. We know we deserve punishment, and we know that punishment is death. we understand all that. So when we receive the forgiveness of God, we're admitting our guilt, and we're accepting God's just way of dealing with sin. The fact that God, that Jesus stood in our place, he took the punishment for us so that we could receive forgiveness today. And anyone who has received Christ, so if you're a believer, this is true of you.
Yes.
When you received Christ, you received forgiveness. And as Paul wrote in Ephesians and in Colossians, in him, in Jesus, those who have received Jesus are in him. In him you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He remembers your sins no more. Why? Because he sent them away through the shed blood of Jesus. That's good news, folks. Yeah,
that is very good news, and you've tuned to Basic Gospel. We would encourage your phone call right now to 844-322-2742. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, so if you have a question concerning this issue, perhaps something else, or maybe some other topic you'd like us to discuss or discuss with us, why, a great opportunity. The lines are wide open right now at 844-322-2742, whether the U.S. or Canada. It's a toll-free call, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Jose, and it's interesting that he sent the question that he posed through our the Basic Gospel app, which, of course, is available at the App Store right now, and we encourage everybody to go there and download it. We put it there especially for you, and you can continually be in contact with the ministry by using the app. Again, it's available in the App Store, and it's good through with most of the devices that you would be able to use. Well, again, this is from Jose, who wrote to us through the app. He says, does our time in the Bible demonstrate our relationship with God? Others say if we don't read it all the time, we're showing God that we're not dedicated. If we don't read it all the time, should we be worried?
That's a good question. We can certainly make a rule or a law out of Bible study. Uh-huh. And when we do, we're not really anxious to get into the Word of God.
No.
But if we realize that this Bible really is God's love letter to us, that it's a book about Jesus, that it's God's testimony about Jesus, and that when we go into the Bible to read it, we're getting to know more about Jesus, and then it's hard to stay out of it. And that, I think, is the approach that we need to take. When you're falling in love with a girl and start to date, and boy, you just can't get enough of being with that person and wanting to know them more. And that's the way it is, I think, in this relationship that we have with Christ. Now, you know, there are some folks that get into the Bible every single day, and they read big chunks of it. Mm-hmm. There are others that simply read, you know, once or twice a week and meditate on what they've read for the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. There's all types of ways to get into the Bible, and I think it's important to be in the Bible, but not because you're going to be more spiritual in the sight of God or that you're going to earn more brownie points. It's just because you're responding to the love of God. You really want to know how much he truly loves you. Well, there's only going to be one place to find that out, and that's the Word of God. So I think there's, you know, each person, just let the Lord lead as far as Bible study is concerned. You're going to get hungry, and when you do, you're going to open up that Bible, and you're going to be fed. Don't feel guilty if you miss a day or miss, you know, several days.
Yeah. I was raised, and I knew a lot of people from other traditions who were raised with this idea of spiritual disciplines. And Bible study was one of those spiritual disciplines. And the reason they came up with this is because they looked around at long-time mature Christians, and they said, well, look at there. They read the Bible a lot. Therefore, if you want to be a mature Christian, you have to read the Bible a lot. And so they made it a spiritual discipline rather than asking the mature believers, why is it that you read the Bible? And the answer would have been, well, because I can't help but read the Bible. This is where I meet Jesus. And so it's the discipline was the result of the relationship with God, not the cause of the relationship with God. And that's the issue here. If you read it every day, praise God. If you read it once a week, praise God. Let the Spirit lead you, just like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know in my life, I've read a lot of books. I love to read. I love to read all kinds of books, and I have some favorites. But in all of my reading, I've yet to find a book that's more fascinating than the Bible.
Yes.
I've yet to find a person more compelling than Jesus. And that's who you meet in these pages, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you meet him and grow in your knowledge of him, you're going to be a different person.
Yeah. Well, thanks for writing, Jose. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net.
Let's go to Bailey, Colorado, and talk to Debbie, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. What's on your mind today?
Well, I met a gal at a Bible study who asked me when I had proof that I was saved. And I was like, well, I have the gift of the salvation through Jesus, and I accept that gift because I'm a big, fat sinner. And, you know, I've seen change in my life, and, you know, my thoughts and everything like that. And she just really was pushing the idea that I wasn't maybe saved because I didn't have the gift of tongues or healing or anything like that. And I was like, that doesn't sound scriptural. So I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, Debbie, if speaking in tongues is necessary to do for a sign of salvation, then I'm not saved. I don't think anybody in this room here is saved. It's just not true. What she was telling you was just not true. We see in the book of Acts, Debbie, that the apostles on the day of Pentecost spoke the word of God, spoke the good news about Jesus. And those that were there heard that in their native tongue. We see in Acts 8 and 10 where that gift was evident at those particular times. But that was a sign to unbelieving Jews that the Spirit of God had been given, that the gift had been given by Jesus Christ to man. They needed some evidence of that. They needed a sign. And that gift of tongues was that sign to the unbelieving Jew. So when Peter went to Samaria and witnessed the fact that Samaritans had received Christ, boy, that was something that he didn't think could ever happen. And so he needed proof. And so he was the unbelieving Jew at that scene. He was also the unbelieving Jew, basically, at Cornelius' house. Not in the sense that he didn't believe in Christ. He had already been born again. He just didn't believe that God would give the gift of the Holy Spirit to Samaritans or to Gentiles. And so he needed evidence, and that evidence was given in the form of the gift of tongues. But it's not a sign that someone is saved. It's just there's nowhere in the Word of God that you can point to make that case.
And in fact, you can go to a specific passage and point that it doesn't mean that. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12 and start in verse 27, let me read it out of the NASB. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? The answer would be, no, not all are apostles. All are not prophets, are they? No. All are not teachers, are they? No. All are not workers of miracles, are they? No. All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? In all of these cases, the answer is no. The Spirit gives gifts as the Spirit needs them to be ministered to someone in the church or outside the church, and we get to participate with the Spirit, but it's never a requirement for salvation.
I figured it was an act of self once it started, this strange tongue started popping out during prayer time, and the fact that she claimed that, oh, everyone can have it. And I was like, we return to that scripture, and I'm like, that's not true. You know, just trying to gently come alongside, and because she's older than me, and was leading the Bible study, I was like, maybe I should be quiet, but no, the Holy Spirit was like, no, you shouldn't, say something out. So I really appreciate your clarification and how wonderful you all are in taking time to read the scripture just now. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Well,
and what, may I ask one more question?
Certainly.
The way to support Israel, what would you say to that?
Well, I think as individual believers, we support Israel through prayer. I think that's one way we do it. I think we can also support, our political system in the sense that we vote for those who want to support Israel. So I think that's how we do it. Certainly, the United States is an ally of Israel. We saw last night on the podium, as far as the Republican debate was concerned, that most of those candidates standing there made a strong case for defending Israel well into the future. I was pleased with that. So I think those are some ways that we can support Israel. But I think the main thing that we can do, Debbie, is to tell people about Jesus. Because ultimately, that's the message that's going to come back to Israel.
Yes.
They are looking for a Messiah. We know who that Messiah is. So our ultimate support of any group, Israel being a part of that, our ultimate support is through the proclamation of this good news concerning Jesus. That's what they're looking for. That's who they're looking for. And one day they're going to see him and recognize him for who he is. And just as we have done, they're going to bow the knee and call him Lord and God. That's going to be a glorious day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So when a Jewish person who is now a believer is saying that, they're collecting money to help the Jews, understand who Jesus is that okay to send monetary funds to them so that they are sharing that with them and feeding the Jewish people?
Well, certainly,
yes.
Debbie. I mean, there's a great movement, I think, in the world to get this good news about Jesus into Israel, touching Jewish lives. That's the ultimate. Why? Because all that we have in Christ has a connection to that Jewish history.
Yes.
I mean, there was this promise of God to Abraham that through his seed the world would be blessed. And so there was this bloodline, this Jewish bloodline, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, all the way down. And there is Jesus. He's the seed that blesses the world. And that blessing was to go forth to every nation. But first and foremost, it was to bless the people of Israel. They rejected, and one day that gospel message is going to circle back to them. And as Paul writes in Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved. So we just continue to offer up the good news, recognizing that we're in the age of the Gentiles. But in this age of Gentiles, there's a remnant of Jews that are being saved by grace just as we are. And that's part of this great plan of God. He is wise. He knows exactly what he's doing. So we receive Christ. We find our place within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We open up our mouth and we let this gospel of Christ pour out into this world. And God's going to use that as a part of his plan that will eventually circle back to the Jewish people.
Yay. I'm so excited. Yay, thank you so much for spending time with me. I so appreciate it.
Well, you're so welcome,
thank you.
Debbie. Thanks for your great call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. So you hang on. We'll send that to you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, of course, is available from the book section of our online store at store.basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Boise, Idaho, and talk with Braden. Hi, Braden.
Hey.
Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, well, it's good to be here. I'm just kind of a new time listener, and I heard you guys give the phone number across the radio, and I thought I might call in and ask you some questions.
Well, please do. We're glad you called today.
Oh, sweet. Well, first of all, I guess I should say I used to be LDS, and my girlfriend used to be Catholic, and we met each other, and we both ended up leaving those churches to be Christian. So I ended up being kicked out of my house because of doing this, and
that's sad, isn't it?
Yes, it is very sad. It is a awful situation about that kind of stuff. But I've been trying to reach out to my family, and still have that family connection there. And every time I do, it seems like religion is the only thing that they are caring about forcing Mormonism upon me, if that makes sense. I'm sure you hear a lot of those kind of experiences, though. My brother, though, this most recent time, I talked with him, and it seems like I study months in advance about certain topics about being Christian and things like that, but then when it comes down to the time, I end up forgetting those kind of things. It just always seems to happen to me that way. But, my brother, he was talking to me about stuff, and he was being very belligerent. He started to tell me about how I said that you are saved by faith alone in Christ, and that's through his grace that we're saved and we get to go to heaven, not through any of the works by any religion,
yes,
for that matter. And he told me that was false, and that why would Paul and his apostles go out and baptize people after the resurrection and stuff like that? And I didn't have an answer towards that or anything like along those lines. And he got very rude and started not being very kind towards me after that, because I couldn't answer those questions. And he also brought up the fact that Jesus was baptized, and why would he do it in that was an example for us that we needed to be baptized and stuff like that. And I made sure to let him know about following a false prophet and how that led you to believing in a falsified version of Christ. And so I just didn't know what your guys' answer would be towards that, about scriptures and verses, amongst why the apostles were going out baptizing people, as well as why Jesus got baptized.
Well, those are good questions, Braden. As far as Jesus is concerned, there was a very practical reason that he was baptized. One was to fulfill all righteousness. It was part of God's plan. But two, this was going to be his, I guess, debut to the people of Israel, to the nation of Israel. So John the Baptist went out every day with this thought in mind, that possibly today the Messiah will come and he will be identified as such through this act of baptism. And so when Jesus was baptized, there was a dove that descended upon him, and then there was the voice from heaven that said, "This is my son, in him I am well pleased." So that baptism identified Jesus as the Messiah to the nation of Israel. So that was the reason he was baptized, so that the people of Israel would recognize him for who he is.
Yes.
We're baptized in water merely to celebrate what has happened to us in Christ. So first of all, we're baptized by the Spirit that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We're made alive, we're regenerated, we're placed into the body of Christ, and then we get a chance to celebrate that with water baptism. And that's what it is. It's a big party. Somebody that was dead that is now alive in Christ, he's been baptized into Christ, placed into his death, burial, and resurrection, and now is alive. But that's what that's all about. Well, Braden, let me put you on hold. We're almost out of time. We'll send you some more information, okay? You hang on.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Braden. And folks, don't forget,
We need your ongoing support to keep the good news on the air at Basic Gospel. You can click donate at any page at basicgospel.net and make your contribution, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Any gift this month will get a copy of Bob Christopher's wonderful CD series, The Power of Eight. Well, we are out of time for this edition, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.